Well, if you want to win a staycation comfort package from my friends at Reliable Heating and Air, stay tuned. We're going to give it away. Guys, it includes, all right, a $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card, and a free cooling system tune-up, all compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. So stay tuned. We'll give that away coming up because a lot of folks are just like, oh, we'll stay here for the summer. I get it. But that's a cool giveaway, and we'll do that here before the end of 6 o'clock. Mike, I do feel like Michael Penix, and we'll dive into this here in about 10 minutes, is feeling pressure to come back. Not from us. I just feel like his internal clock is working that way. I don't think anybody at Flowery Branch, Matt Ryan, Stefanski, Tommy Reese, none of these guys are saying, you know, you got to be back by June. Nobody's saying that. But if I am Michael Penix Jr., inside, knowing what I'm up against, and look, I'm quoting my partner here when he says three ACLs, right? Name the guy that has come off of that situation and gone on to monster success. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. will be the first one, and I hope he is. But my internal clock, Mike, is like, I got to be ready. It's got to be messing with him a little bit. And I just say that to know, even if he's on schedule, you're pushing yourself just a little bit more, Mike, because this could be your last chance.
You know, and that's the thing, like, for instance, Jason Tatum, when he sat out at game 7, right, against the Sixers, because there's a history. That's Achilles, that's different. But it always seems like there's another body part opposite where you hurt. Which gets a little funky because you pushed it too hard. I mean, that's kind of, we've seen that in all sports, but... Yeah, if you're Penix Jr., you're right. That's why the coaching staff, I think, is trying to keep, and the medical staff, hey, man, your own clock, your own time. No one's given up. No one's, we ask, where's the timeline? There's no timeline. We're not going to pressure a timeline. But again, you know, as we said, if you see Michael Penix, oh, Mike looks really good. And then Tua looks like he's at a different level because, yeah, he's not 6 months removed from blowing his knee out. It was a partial MCL tear.
Yeah.
So, but as we said, right, Oren, we all looked at it. It was like, and I joked around because you were on vacay. I go, T-U-A. It looks good.
It does. You know,
not that Penix looks bad. It's just one guy is 100%. One guy isn't. It's clear as day. I believe Michael Penix Jr.
You can tell. See, well, look, I hope that.
I see that. He said not. That's not right.
Oh, what did he say? I'm sorry.
I believe in Michael Penix Jr. Not. See, that's not even. That's a cheaply executed edit. Quite clearly, I did not say.
I believe in Michael Penix Jr.
Not. Now, I had a guy. You missed. Well, you were off last week. I had a guy. You just down on Penix. This guy's like. I'm like, hey, chump. I think I called somebody a moron on Monday. See, when you're not here, and Abe's got me going.
Your mind.
And then, I'll see you at the liquor store. I said, bring it. You know, it never happened. But I was like, no. I mean, we're all rooting for Penix. We're all rooting for him. It'd be a hell of a story. But that's Carl. I were just giving you the facts. The odds are long. That's it.
All right. I believe in Michael Penix Jr.
Thank you. Stop it right there.
Not. Oh, you turd.
Hey, man, speaking of the NFL, let's get to 4th-and-1. It's time for 4th-and-1. I want to be clear as we start this next conversation. We, on this show, stay in our lane. But sometimes sports and politics cross. And that's what happened when Jackson Dart did what he did, the starting quarterback of the New York Giants, and introducing President Trump. Now, for me, I think for Mike, this is a non-story. Let's be honest. Until it crossed over. And once it did, and you had a teammate in Abdul Carter who is a dude, okay, he's a stud in his own right, first-round pick. The Giants have a lot of talent, which is why Harbaugh took that job. But if you missed it, I think Jackson Dart, Mike, had to know that publicly doing this would bring some scrutiny. Maybe he didn't care. Maybe he didn't think any of his teammates would care. But when you're the quarterback of a football team, it's a unique situation because you are the straw that stirs the drink. And so as this went down, and now it's been squashed, is it a beef or is it not a beef? Because Abdul Carter went to social media and said, look, we talked it out like men, right? Yeah. Y'all can keep the narratives. Me and my quarterback and Jackson Dart, we're fine, you know. And I hope that's the case. But I also think that Harbaugh probably stepped in because he knew how toxic this could get.
Yeah, I mean, and look, we know that politics creates visceral reactions now between people. I mean, you can't have, like, no one's going to, you're not going to convince anybody of anything on social media or anything else. But the idea that he saw this and immediately he was ticked off and he took to social media because he was hot. You know, and everybody, like, it's a free country. But when politics crosses over and now the locker room culture is like, you feel that way? See, that's where you've got to squash it. And that's why, to your point, Harbaugh probably said, we got to nip this in the bud right now. But it is funny because we see just how poisonous politics has become in our country. We used to be able to have great conversations. You and I love politics, man. We talk off the air all the time. You can't seem to do that. And in locker rooms now, you can't have that kind of cancer where you don't have that guy's back because you don't like what he does off the field. That's poison.
It is. And look, Abdul Carter needs Jackson Dart to be a great quarterback, and he needs Abdul Carter to get after the quarterback of the opposing team. They need each other to get their goals established, right? The Super Bowl. And everybody on every team is dealing with this same dynamic. I just think, and Mike, I was thinking about this. For most of us, okay, you may be working in an office atmosphere. Maybe you work from home. You don't even see any people anymore, okay? Right. You don't have a locker room dynamic where I'm with a guy 6 to 8 months of a year, and I see him more than I see my family.
Right.
That is what happens in these situations. And so when somebody says, oh, he's got every right to do it. You know, people at my job, I don't care what they do because this is not a locker room atmosphere. It is completely different than most work environments. So I know for some of you, you may be like, well, I don't understand what the big deal is. But, Mike, that's the issue is, man, I'm watching. And by the way, it's not just Abdul Carter. You think right. He was the only – he spoke out. There were other cats on that defense who probably felt the same right. way, maybe reached out.
Now, again, this is difficult because it's a political conversation.
It is.
I mean, but again, you surround yourself by people that are like-minded, so there's no beef. When you get into the real world where people have differing opinions, somehow they might feel diametrically opposed to where you are. And as we've said, I just touched on it, it's toxic. I mean, it's toxic in our country. It's a shame. I mean, it is what it is. It ain't going to change anytime soon. But that's where you say, okay, how do I get everybody on the same page as a head coach? But then will there be some doubt? I mean, no, as we said, not like an offensive lineman is going to go, I don't like your politics. Ole! And let some defensive tackle come in. Because then you're messing with your own career because that's on tape. But it is just part of the new dynamic of where we live in 26. So it is funny when guys are like, well, I like Jackson Dart. The other guy's a jerk or vice versa. Well, oh.
That's fine.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You don't. Do you walk around with political campaign stuff in your office? No, you don't. That's your point.
Yeah. It's. But they, as they said, it's been squashed.
Right.
And I hope for the Giants' sake it has been. But it was one of those things that happened last week and over the weekend. And we were like, oh, where is this going?
When I first saw that Abdul Carter tweet, I was like, uh-oh. But yeah, we'll see how well it goes. Speaking of politics in its own way.
Yeah.
Supreme Court denies the NFL's petition for appeal in the Brian Flores case. If you hadn't seen this, this guy has apparently subpoenaed everybody. Brian Flores, who felt that he was racist treatment with the Dolphins and subsequently trying to be hired. And the basic Supreme Court said, you know, Roger Goodell can't be the voice of arbitration on something involving Roger Goodell in the NFL. Duh.
Yeah, a little bit unfair.
And that's basically in a nutshell. 25-page document submitted by the league. Was like, basically, it's like, how far is arbitration? No, not when you're going up against the organization itself. Basically saying, I need help. I need someone to look at this objection. You know, it's not arbitration, but the objectionable. Objective. I'll get the right adjective out. Can Roger Goodell be objective? Supreme Court says, no, of course he can't.
You know, but no way. Because he's still protecting the owners in this situation.
Right. Would John Gruden have liked Roger Goodell to go over an appeal on the suspension from the Redskins case? Back then called the Redskins.
No,
it ain't going to happen.
I said to Mike, this could get very interesting. If everybody is called, as he's, you know, like you said, subpoenaed everybody, and look, when you're under oath, you got to tell it, man. And if this could be very interesting and revealing.
The NFL, the last thing they want is this going. So the question now is going to be, do they settle with Brian Flores, or is Brian Flores going to stick to his guns and go, no. I want this all out in the daylight.
Well,
and
Mike,
people
called him out. They thought he was nuts. Oh, right. It's not that way. What are you talking about? Everybody's getting a fair shot. And he's like, no. You don't understand. So I think deep down, he might have some convictions about trying to see this through.
Right. And again, you know, we talked about the Rooney Rule and I get it. You know, there's people that feel, you know, hey, there's no place for affirmative action in the workplace, but the NFL's got a pretty poor record with it over the years. Just because you'll see an NFL game with two black coaches doesn't mean the problem doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that's why they've tried to advance guys getting a chance through interviews and this and that. And they do these things that Ulbrich just did for all coaches to try to improve their skills to climb the ladder. But in the case of Flores, there's probably some documents they've got, which the NFL doesn't want coming out. Maybe it's communications. Look what the NFL did with Gruden. Maybe there's some communications, emails, you know, paper trail, where people are talking about, I can't touch Flores. And that's going to be all he needs.
It'd be devastating to their case.
Right.
Hey, man, let's hear from Jason Kelsey, Mike. He says the NFL's getting away from Sundays. They're playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He's right. Too much. Can we get back to Sunday?
Sunday is the day of football. Right. Outside of going to church in the morning, if you're still religious and you do that, Sunday is like where so many games happen. And that's what you grow up in you gear your entire week around watching football on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's an institution at this point, the NFL playing games on Sunday. With every day that we keep adding in there, we're getting away from that just a little bit. And I worry that I think the game got big. One of the reasons it got so popular and big was because all of the game, it was an event. Sunday is the NFL. And everybody set their week apart to tune into their games that were happening on Sunday. And you're watching kind of all of them now take place across the, I mean, Sunday ticket, right? I worry that we're getting away from that just a little bit by building too many of this.
I agree.
You and I talked about this. I mean, when we had the Sunday ticket, you're right. I mean, why am I paying for a Sunday ticket when I got two games in the 4 o'clock window? Mm-hmm. Because you played a Thursday night. Now, sometimes you have the first week, it's really taken to the extreme where they got all these, you know, Friday night games, et cetera.
The build
thing,
up.
You know, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, you're right. Like, why bother with a Sunday ticket? You know, you don't have to go to a sports bar to see what you need to see. But I'm with Kelsey. But the greed, that's where it's at. They're saturating the market because these TV networks and Prime and all these untraditional things have now spent so much money, the NFL's got to deliver.
Man, it's kind of nuts, man. I'm glad he spoke on it, but listen, I don't think the league's going to back away from it. They're going to continue to expand because there's so much money involved in these international games now, and the advertising dollars, Mike, right, and the money they're getting from the streaming services. I mean, you know, again, Netflix and all the folks that are involved with this, they're not backing down, but we'll see if maybe this goes in a different direction, because I do agree with Jason Kelsey. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Does he feel pressure? Does he feel pressure to get back sooner than he needs to? I'll tell you why I think he does when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.